just to encourage everyone, the unleavened bread, the object lesson is we remove the leaven from our houses. That's the object lesson. But it's to try to teach us a more spiritual importance that we must look at our lives and we take the opportunity to examine ourselves, and we should do this every day. This is important to our lives. So today we're going to look at the Word of God, and we're going to be looking at living the unleavened lifestyle and how important that is. How do you do that every day? How do you do it daily? There's some structure in Scripture that shows us how to do this, and we pray that it'll minister to your heart today. So if you have your Bibles, you could turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at this, how important it is. Because sometimes we forget. We need reminders throughout Scripture. And we find that the feast days that Yah said are my feast, he uses those things as reminders to us so we don't forget. And we can go over the examples that are given to us, and it'll give us the awareness continually to make sure that we're doing everything he asks us to do. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll start reading in verse 1. It said, "It is commonly reported that there is whoring among you, and such whoring as is not even named among the nations, so as one to have his father's wife." So he's dealing with sexual immorality here. And he says, "And you have been puffed up." So the attitude of the people that are involved in this situation is not humility and being sorry, but "you have been puffed up and did not rather mourn, so that he who has done this deed be removed from among you." And so a couple things happen here. It's not only the person that's done the deed, but those who know about the deed. And I find that happens a lot of times in church in general, is we don't want to say anything. And so what we do, rather than saying something, we almost defend the wrong. And that's something that is not living an unleavened lifestyle. So if we're gonna live the unleavened lifestyle, we can't defend what's wrong. And so he says, "For indeed, as absent in the body and present in spirit, have already judged the one who did this as though I were present." So what Shaul's saying here, he's saying, even though I'm not there, I've already judged the person that's doing this as if I was there. Because there is an action that we must take when these type of things are going on. He said in verse 4, "In the name of our Master Yeshua Messiah, when you gather together in my spirit and with the power of our Master Yeshua Messiah," he says what to do, "deliver such a one to Satan," or Hasatan, "for the destruction of the flesh, in order that his spirit be saved in the day of the Master Yeshua." And so he said, the person who's involved in this sexual immorality, he said, you deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. And the hope is if we turn them over, that somehow they'll recognize the value of repentance and being sorry for the wrongness rather than being puffed up. He said, you don't, instead of mourning, you've got a puffed up attitude. Well, there might be this. Well, nobody better tell me nothing about it. And so that's something that he's warning us about. And we're going to see as we continue reading that the reason he's dealing with this, because we're coming to the festival. He says, "Your boasting is not good. Your boasting is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the entire lump?" A little leaven leavens the entire lump. So that's why we're, at this time, we're taking some time to examine our lives, and we need to do this every single day. But the structure of the feast is reminders. It's reminding us, like we celebrated Passover and we went straight into unleavened bread. And now we're going into first fruits. They are all reminders to get us to think about it again, because, you know, we go throughout the year and sometimes our mind is not thinking on these things, and God wants us to remember how important these things are. He said, your boasting's not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the entire lump? Therefore, cleanse out the old leaven so that you are a new lump, as you are unleavened. You are unleavened. And so what we find in the scripture is we have the sinless lamb, the Son of God, Yeshua HaMashiach, who took on all the leaven from the world. Our sins was upon him. And he was then killed. He was then buried. And so we have to understand that process. We looked at it in the Afikoman and in the Passover. It was put away, but it comes back at a later time. And that's what he did for all of us. He paid the price for all of us. So that's why he says, as you are unleavened. So we have to recognize who we are in Christ. If we're in Christ, then we are to be unleavened. And so we know that we've been titled with that, but how do we live that? And that's what today's all about. How do we actually live that every day? That's important to our life. For also Messiah, our Pesach, or Passover, was slaughtered for us. He was slaughtered for us. And he's telling the church here, the festival's upon them. He says, so then let us celebrate the festival. What festival is he talking about? He's talking about Passover and unleavened bread and first fruits. So let us celebrate the festival not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of evil and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. This is so valuable to our life. So he's telling us what to do. So as, again, a reminder, year after year, we're to think about these things, but not just once a year, but every single day. So I'm going to share with you, how do we do that? How do we do it every day? And to live the unleavened lifestyle, one must wash daily in the word of Elohim. To live the unleavened lifestyle, one must wash daily in the word of Elohim. How many know that's a value to us? Washing daily in the word. What does that look like? When Exodus 30, verse 17 through 21, and Yah spoke to Moshe, to Moses, saying, and you shall make a basin of bronze with its stand also of bronze for washing. And you shall put it between the tent of appointment and the slaughter place, and shall put water in it. The tent of appointment is that time that you go in. They would go into the holy place and then the most holy place. Between that tent of appointment and where the slaughtering place is, you put this basin. And Aharon and his sons washed from it their hands and their feet. He said they're to wash in this basin. When they go into the tent of appointments, or when they come near to the slaughtering place to attend to the burnt offerings, this was the stuff done on the outside. This is where all the slaughtering took place. He says, to burn an offering made by fire to Yah, they wash with water, lest they die. Look how critical it is to wash. Because if you don't wash and learn how to live the unleavened lifestyle throughout the year, you're putting yourself in a position where you could die. You can lose heart. You can lose faith. Because you're not examining yourself daily to live the lifestyle of being unleavened. In verse 21 it says, and they washed their hands and their feet, lest they die. And it shall be a law forever to them, to him and to his seed throughout their generation. So I read that to you to see that there was a provision, even in the Torah, the provision was made as a something to look at. We look to that. Now we have the water of the word of God that washes up. So if you're not daily in the word of God, it's going to be tough for you to live the unleavened lifestyle. That's just the facts. And we all saw that. The times that we lapse in our judgment, we lapse in what we're supposed to do as people who are on an ongoing active relationship with Messiah. And what he did for us at Calvary, when we don't do those things, before we know it, we let leaven creep in. And the more we let it creep in, we let it stay. What does it do? It leavens the whole lump. That's just what happens. So Ephesians 5, let's look at it together. Ephesians 5, verse 25 through 27. It says, husbands, love your wives as Messiah also did love the assembly and gave himself for it, in order to set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So why are you to do these things? Love your wives as Messiah also did love the assembly and gave himself for it, in order, you do this in order to set it apart and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, in order to present it to himself a splendid assembly. What does he desire? A splendid assembly. How many of you know that there's leaven in the body? In the body of Christ, there's leaven. And we represent the body of Christ. What are we to do with that leaven? We're to try our best, do everything in our power to repent of that leaven and remove it from our lives. It's an active, ongoing, conscious effort. It's action. We have to take action in it. So he said, in order to present it to himself a splendid assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any of this sort, but that it might be set apart and blameless. So how critical is it? We're looking for every spot and wrinkle. We're not just kind of looking for the big things. You know what we do when unleavened bread comes? We look for the big thing. The big thing is what? Bread. So it's easy to grab the loaf of bread. It's easy. It's obvious. There it is. And for the most part, most believers, they can handle the big things. But this, when he talks in Corinthians, he said, listen, I know you're not dealing with the little spots and the wrinkles, but you're not even dealing with the big thing. This guy's obviously openly having a sexual immorality with his father's wife. Think about that. He said, it's a sin not even named among the Gentiles. He said, you got to do something about that. So he said, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. So if he's calling that a little leaven, then we have to make sure that we examine ourselves every day. It's not something that we kind of take a casual breeze over our life, but be honest with ourselves, be transparent with ourselves, and make sure that we examine ourselves daily. He said, in order to present to him a splendid assembly, not having spot or wrinkle or any of this sort, but that it might be set apart and blameless. Living by the word is what sets you apart. Living by the word is what sets you and I apart. We have to live by the word. Obeying the word is what sets you apart. So we don't just live by the word. So living by the word sets us apart. We know that washing of ourselves with the word of God. But how do we continue that? We have to obey what it says. That's a value to us, and I pray that that's something that we can grab hold to. In Revelation 19, verse 6, it says this, and I heard as the voice of a great crowd, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thunder, saying, hallelujah, for Yah El Shaddai reigns. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give him praise, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife did what? Prepared herself. Prepared herself. That's our job. We should get up every day and prepare ourselves like we're going to meet the bridegroom. We're going to meet him today. We prepare ourselves. And it's just a good habit to have. It's something that's important. But we find in religion, in the church world today, that doesn't happen a lot. Because we don't want to read Corinthians and talk about the sexual immorality that was obviously an open. And instead of people saying you can't do that, they would get puffed up and they would get mad, especially if it was somebody's kid. And you have that happen all the time. Don't defend, even if it's your child, don't defend their behavior. And don't be a mad if somebody corrects that. Because you're gonna give them life. You're extending life to them by doing that. But to say nothing, you're signing their death certificate. To say nothing is just signing it away. Nobody's going to give their child up, like, just sign a death certificate. So to stand up for something that's your child, that you love and you care about, what are you going to do? You're going to invite when somebody is led by the Lord to minister to their heart, whether it be the pastor or some elder in the church or anyone that says, you can't do that. That's wrong. And they point it out in Scripture, and they do it in love. How many of you know that you could do this stuff in love? And it's important that we take that position. But we have to prepare ourselves for the Lamb. And to her was given to be dressed in fine linen. I mean, see that, fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteousnesses. I mean, see that, righteousnesses of the set apart one. What is the righteousnesses? Righteousnesses is action. How many understand that? It's what we're doing, the righteousnesses of the set apart one. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who have been called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of Elohim. So the important thing to remember is these righteousnesses. That's what makes the difference. They were given, and to her it was given to be dressed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness. Righteousness is action. It's a word of action. It's what we're doing. It's something that we're involved in. I'm actively involved in reading my Bible. I'm actively involved in being a part of the church. I'm actively involved in celebrating Passover and celebrating unleavened bread. I'm actively involved in it. Even though when we take the leaven out of our house, it's an object lesson. I want everybody to understand that's all it is. It's an object lesson. It's to show us how, regardless of how good we look, there's a possibility we can leave something, and we should make sure that we're thinking about that, and we're concerned about what if I left something, and we examine ourselves every day. So we find in James chapter 1, verse 21, something is important there. It says, the word is like a mirror. We see ourselves as we should, but self-righteousness is a deception. Self-righteousness is a deception. I mean, what is self-righteousness? I don't really need to. I'm good. I know I'm good. I don't really need to see myself. Why do we have to go to the Word daily and wash in the Word? Because the Word is like a mirror. It shows us ourselves. So we don't get to self-proclaim that I'm good. I got it. I'm advanced. And so what we look at somebody else who maybe they don't know, come to that truth, and you come to the truth, and you can watch yourself careful. You get self-righteous, but that leads to deception. Don't be deceived in this. In James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, therefore, put away all filthiness and overflowing of evil, and receive with meekness the implanted word. What do we receive? The implanted word. That's of value to us. We receive it. If you're not reading it, applying yourself. So if you don't read the Bible and you don't attend church, or you're not listening live, or what you're doing now, this is a good way to react, to see. It's people's home. We don't know what you're doing at home. We know we're going to come here and go live, but whatever you're doing, listen, remember, the consequence will come by what you put into it. So it's important to sit down, take some time, and read the Word of God, because we have to receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save our lives. How many want your life saved? Listen, there's a lot going on in the world today. And there's never been a better time. If you're going to be postured toward the Word of God, it's now. It's right now that we posture toward the Word of God. And it's important that we take some time to think about this, which is able to save our lives. The Word is important. Washed in the Word is so important to our lives. And become doers of the Word. Now, once you receive the Word, the implanted Word, it's able to save your life. That we know that. That's the power of God's Word. But what do? You become a doer of the Word that was implanted in you. Become a doer of it. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. How does deception come? Through self-righteousness. Self-righteousness is a deception. And it says, don't deceive yourselves. And that's what happens if you become a doer of the word and not a hearer only. You're not listening live to be a hearer of the word and you can pass it on to somebody else. If the word goes forth, it's for me. I receive it, Lord, whatever it is. You say, well, I heard that before. Let me just tell you, if you heard it before and it's coming a second time, you didn't hear it as good as you thought you needed to hear it, and God's just reminding you. So what if you hear it 1,000 times? There's places I've read thousands of times. I need to hear it again because the word of God is fresh, it's alive, it's vibrant, and what is it used for? To wash me. So how many of you get up every day and you go, if you're going to go to work or whatever you're doing, and you get out and you're working in the yard and you get hot and sweaty, you're going to go home and you're going to take a shower. You're not going to go home and say, well, I'm good. Well, not every, you might think you're good, but the people next to you might not think you're good. But you're going to wash. And then next day you're going to do it again. What are you going to do? You're going to wash again. How many see that that's important to our lives? You're going to keep washing, constantly washing, because how many know you get dirty? Sometimes you get dirty and you got to clean yourself up. Same thing with serving God. We have to be washed in the word daily, especially if we're going to go pray. Don't take the chance and go pray and you didn't wash in the word, because at least you die. Look at the restrictions that was on the priest that when they went before God. Whether you're out making a sacrifice, it's just like the guy who says, well, I ain't going to take a shower because I'm going to get dirty anyway. The guy that's making a sacrifice, that's taking the lambs at the place of at the sacrificial altar, he was going to get dirty instantly on the first sacrifice. And he had many to do. But he still had to go clean in the basin and prepare himself for it, because God wants us to come before him with clean hearts and clean hands. Become doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself in the mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and immediately forgets what he was like. And that happens all the time. We immediately forget what we're like. Instantly, the word of God, when you're washing in the word, it instantly is showing you where you need to change, what needs to happen. But if you don't take care of it right away, how many's ever been so busy and you're doing something, and maybe you glanced in the mirror and you saw, oh, I got to make sure I take care of that before I leave. But then you got busy. And sometimes it happens to women. They're looking, they got one earring in, the other one's out, but they're busy, they're doing their hair, they got other things, kids to run around. And then before they know it, they get where they're going, and they go, oh, I forgot my other earring. But they knew they at one time to do it. So what do you do when you first notice it? What do? You take care of it right then and there. Because there's a tendency that we immediately forget what we were like. So in the moment you know the word, you're reading the word, you're in the word of God, and it reminds you of something you need to take care of, how long do you wait? You don't wait. You immediately do it right then and there. Don't wait too long, because you'll forget what you was like. In verse 25, but he that looks into the perfect Torah, that of freedom. He that looks into the perfect Torah, that of freedom, and continues in it, not just looking at it, but continues in it, not becoming a hearer that forgets, but a doer of the work, this one shall be blessed in his doings of the Torah. So how many of you see how the blessing comes? The blessing comes is not just seeing God showed it to me. It's amazing how we have a tendency to be shown things from God. That's our word. God showed me this about a person. And it's amazing, if he's showing you so much about others, why he's not showing you about you? This is something we really have to be careful on. So this word, as I was going over this, I kept praying, Lord, what do I need to do? What's my job? What do I need to fix? This is important to us. But he that looks into the perfect Torah, that of freedom, and continues in it. It's not a one-time deal. Somebody said, well, I washed, I'm good. How many is alive today? You got up and you're living. We're going to be involved in all sorts. We're going to come in contact with all sorts of things. You're going to encounter different demonic spirits, influences. You're going to encounter them throughout the day. And they'll attach themselves on you, whatever. You know, we're in this corona. type atmosphere, what have people been doing more than ever before? They're washing their hands. They're watching what they're doing. They're paying attention. We can learn a great lesson from this. When serving God, you got to pay attention. We got to wash, constantly washing in the Word, because it's a value. You got people doing this more so than ever before. And let me tell you, once this is over, let's continue to do it in the Word of God. Constant. I can't even say it enough. If you want to live the unleavened lifestyle, you got to constantly wash in the Word. You constantly have to do it. In Luke chapter 6, let's listen to the words of our Master. In Luke 6, verse 46, it says, "But why do you call me Master, Master, and do not do what I say?" And we've been studying the words of Yeshua for quite some time, and it seems like this is so, I see it all over everywhere, how important it is to get back to what he says. "Everyone who is coming to me," verse 47, "and is hearing my words and is doing them, I shall show you whom he is like." So we can self-proclaim, we can put titles on our name, we can do whatever we want. Yeshua says, "I'm going to tell you, if a person hears what I say and does it, I'm going to tell you what he's like. Let me just give you an example." And that's what he's saying. So he gives this example of a person who hears and does what he says. "He is like a man building a house and dug deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood came, the streams burst against that house, but was unable to shake it, for he was founded on the rock." That person who hears what I say and does what I say. It's not just I believe in Jesus. Do you believe in him enough to do what he says? Because he said, "You call me Master, Master." That's belief. Who's your master? Yeshua's my master. He's my Master, Master. Do you do what he says? That's where, so we can stick with it. Well, I believe in Jesus. But do you do what he says? He said, if you do what I say, I'm going to tell you how that person's going to be. They're like a man building a house who digs deep and lays a foundation. What's the foundation? The foundation is the Torah. The foundation is the very Word of God. You're not just taking what stuff that just kind of superficial. You're digging into the Word. You're applying the Word to your life every day. You get down to the rock, to something that's solid. And then what's going to happen? He says, when a flood came, excuse me, and the streams burst against that house, but was unable to shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Unable to shake it. Why? Because you got into the Word of God. You dug deep into it. Not the superficial traditions of men. That's not what you do. But it goes on and gives the opposite of that. "But the one hearing and not doing is like a man who builds his house on the earth." The word is used there. He builds it on the earth. He's just doing what man says. Traditions of men. He's not digging to the foundation, getting to the solidness of the rock. He builds it on the earth without a foundation. Notice that. Without a foundation represents with no Torah. You're just building it as you go. And then how many know religion has built something over the years? It's just built something. And so there's no foundation to it, but we just do it anyway. And for years and years, people just done things in church. But listen, if you want to learn how to live the unleavened lifestyle, you're going to have to dig a little bit. You're going to have to dig down to what's solid. And so it has no foundation, against which the streams burst and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So you'd hate to be doing this all your life, and at the end, it's just a failure. We got to get down to the rock, to what's solid, and the Torah is that rock. Matthew 27, again, Yeshua's account. Matthew 7, 21 through 27. "Not everyone who says to me, Master, Master, shall enter into the reign of the heavens, but he who is doing the desires of my Father in the heavens. Many shall say to me in that day, Master, Master, have we not prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and done many mighty works in your name?" So notice, this is a ministry that's on all accounts is doing some stuff. There's some activity going on in their church, and they're active. There's some people not even doing this. What are we doing? Think about it. Because they said, we have prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many mighty works in your name. And then I shall declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work lawlessness. You live like there's no rules. You live like, because you built your house on the earth. No foundation. You live like you're lawless. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, we'll be back to the word of God. We've got to get washed in the word. And does them, not just a hearer, but does them, shall be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain came down, the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall, for it was founded upon the rock. So it's founded upon the Torah. And so who is Yeshua to us? He's the living Torah. The living Torah. How many thank God for that? It's so important that we grab hold to these principles. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them shall be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand, and the rains came down and the floods came and the wind blew and they beat on that house and it fell, and great was its fall. And look in Romans chapter 2, verse 13. For not the hearer of the Torah are righteous in the sight of Elohim, but the doer of the Torah shall be declared right. Now that verse right there in Romans 2:13, for those that says the Torah is abolished and it's over with, it's old, and now we got a new covenant. We don't have that to do that no more, unhitched from the Old Testament. They don't read Romans 2. That's not a go-to verse. But we should read it. For the hearer of the Torah are righteous in the sight of Elohim, but the doer... For not the hearer of the Torah are righteous in the sight of Elohim, but the doer of the Torah shall be declared right. I mean, thank God that we're not just, we don't just want to be hearers, but we want to do what it says. Very important that we do what it says. And that's why we're engaging to live an unleavened lifestyle. So number two, to live an unleavened lifestyle, we need to follow our Elohim-given conscience. So this is why there's no excuse for anyone. We've all been given a conscience. Everyone knows what's right and what's wrong. We know what's right and wrong, and we've been given that conscience by our Creator. And so how do we enhance our conscience to be more aware, and how do we cripple our conscience? We're going to learn that today, because we got to make sure that we're aware of when something's going on in us. If you listen to your conscience, and it's right where it needs to be, it's always going to give you that edge, that push. You need to fix this. You need to fix this. But you could get your conscience seared with a hot iron, and that's a terrible place to be. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, we know that we have passed out of death into life. So we're going to learn something today. We know we've passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. So if your love don't change, you can't say, well, I'm saved. I know I'm saved, but you're hating people. You hate everybody. You didn't pass out of death into life. The one not loving his brother stays in death. How many see that? This is a clear verse. It's clear. There's no ambiguity here. This is clear for us to see. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. The one not loving his brother stays in death. And this is important for us to remember. A value to our life. So there's an indication in our life that kind of shows us where we are. So we're not self-proclaiming or thinking, I'm good. You got to watch when that hatred rises up. Why is it there? Do something about it. Do I recognize that I'm wrong for having that hatred or that disagreement? Am I wrong for it? It's very important. Remember when David, he goes and he cuts the garment of Saul, and he kind of just quietly left. He was letting Saul know, I could have took your life, but I just took the edge of your garment. But after a while, David looked at that piece and he felt bad. He said, who am I to go, you know, because he done something that he knew. This is God's anointed king. This is God. God put him in this position. And so he recognized that and he said, I can't be that away. I can't act that away. And this, I think we have to just look at that and let it tell us something. That sometimes we want to say something, but it's not our right to say. If God put that person and created that person and gave that person life, then I got to be careful what I'm saying about that person. This is very important to us. Leviticus 19, verse 16 says, do not go slandering among your people. Let me see that. Do not go slandering among your people. Because when we read in John, it talks about that's not right. How do we know it's not right? Because there are Torah commandments against it. The Torah tells us that, he says, do not stand against the blood of your neighbor. I am Yah. It's just a command. Don't do it. Do not hate your brother in your heart. Reprove your neighbor for certain and bear no sin because of him. Do not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the children of your people, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yah. These are Torah commands against how we treat one another. What are we saying? We got to be careful what we say. Sometimes we can sit around and we say things that are way out of bounds. We have to be careful. We can't. That's Yah gave that creation, so we speak against what He created. This will help us. Remember, it will help us. Do not slander among your people. Do not do it. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, and Yeshua said to him, you shall love Yah your Elohim with all your heart and with all your being and with all your mind. Remember, the Pharisees were there and they were questioning him. And they asked him about what's the great commandments. And he says, you shall love Yah your Elohim with all your heart, with all your being and with all your mind. That's Deuteronomy 6, 5. And verse 38, and this is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's that Leviticus 19, 18. On these two commands hang all the Torah and the prophets. He said, if you get these two right, the rest you're going to just fall, it's going to fall in place. We talk about it's just so hard. It's, you know, why would we want to go back under the bondage of the Torah? The bondage of the Torah and the curse of the Torah was death. But those rules and regulations, they are righteous and good. And God wants us to make sure that we are adhering to those principles. We can't break those principles and live the Christian life. So if you want to live the unleavened lifestyle, you have to make sure that you're using the guide that's been set before you, and the Torah is the guide. It lists this whole list of things of how important it is. And to boot, we have Yeshua Messiah, our Passover, who was slain for us. And we don't want to put him being slain for us, we want to make sure we get all the benefits of what he did for us, like applying the blood to the doors and recognizing that we now protect it. And the death of the firstborn, when it happened, it didn't come nigh the dwelling of those who applied the blood. And this is important to our lives. 1 John chapter 3, verse 15 through 22, it says, everyone hating his brother is a murderer. Let me see that. Everyone hating his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has everlasting life staying in him. So you can say, well, I'm saved, but I sure don't like this guy. If I could put my hands around him, I'd choke him to death. You got to work on that leaven right there. That's a leaven. You got to get that out. And you get in the Word of God, like we are right now, it's going to convict you, and you got to do something about it. See, I can read the Word to you today, and it can bring conviction, but if you don't actually do something about it, you're going to immediately forget what you look like. Immediately. You wait a day, the rest of the day, even the rest of the day, you wait, and you'll forget. Until it comes up again, till you see that person again. It's not the way the believer should live. We should never live like that. We got to say, Lord, it's not worth being that way. I want to get closer to you. And the closer you get to him, the more the little leaven, he searches that leaven, he puts a searchlight on, and there it is. You can see it. And that's how it works. You can be riding at night. A lot of the guys go out at night sometimes when they're fishing or doing hunting. And there's a light. You can't see real good, but you kind of got an idea something's there. But when you put the light on, you can see it's there. That's how we should do in our life every day. You know when your conscience works, and you know when you sort of got a little something that's there. And what do? When you know that, you pray, Lord, search me. Put the searchlight on my heart. Search me, Lord, and let me know where I stand. When you do that, I'm telling you, things change in your life immediately. By this we know that we love. By this we have known love because he laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So how are we any different if our master Yeshua, our rabbi, the one we're following, he laid his life down? How is it somehow we got the attitude we ain't got to lay our life down for nobody? You understand that we shouldn't have that attitude. We should be willing to lay our life down for our brothers. But whosoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his tender affection from him, how does the love of Elohim stay in him? So once you know that somebody, you have what, you can be a blessing to somebody, but you refuse to do it because you shut up your tender affections toward him. The more you practice shutting up tender affections, your consciousness starts to get seared. And before you know it, you don't even feel like a person who wants to help anybody anymore. That's a terrible place to be. But he's telling us in John here, don't be that away. When you have a tender affection towards somebody and you're a giver and you want to be a blessing, keep that, because that is a good principle to live by. Because if you do that, it's question, how does the love of Elohim stay in him? How does the love of Elohim, and if you're not loving him, he said, if you don't love me, you do what? You hate me. My little children, notice that he got on us a little bit, but he says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Because he's getting on us right here. And it gets a little, you get slapped a few times, you know, you're feeling it. You're feeling it. So about right now, you might be feeling it. Even at home, you're feeling it. Well, Pastor got on us a little bit. This is the Word of God. It gets on us. That's what happens when you're washing the Word. It gets on you. But then he says, my little children, let us not love in word and in tongue, but in deed and in truth. It's not about saying I love you, but it's what you do. It's what your reactions is. What's your actions? And that's important. In the next verse, 19, he says, by this we know that we are in the truth, and shall set our hearts at rest before him. Our conscience is at rest. That's what he's saying. We set our heart at rest before him. In verse 20, that if our heart condemn us, our conscience condemns us, Elohim is greater than our heart and knows all. Beloved one, if our heart does not condemn us, we have boldness toward Elohim. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we guard his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. So listen, you're going to tell, how many knows this? If you want to be honest, you'll be able to say this is a fact. When your conscience is bothering you about something, it's hard to go to Elohim. It is. It's hard to go to him. But you need to know that he's available regardless. But when your conscience is clear, you have no problem going and pray. So he's letting us know that, beloved ones, if our heart does not condemn us, we have boldness toward Elohim. So you got to work on getting that fixed. You got to repent of some things. You got to clear up some things. Go to the water, word and wash in the word. Go to the verses where he tells us we need to repent. We need to be contrite in our heart, thoroughly sorry. Go to the chapter of Psalms 51 when David prayed and he cried out to God, purge me, wash me with the hyssops. You know, that's what we took. We take the hyssops. During this time, we apply the blood to the doorpost. We got to be reminded of those things. Sometimes we got to go pray that away because we feel a disconnect. But he wants to know when our heart does not condemn us, then we have boldness toward Elohim. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we guard his commands and do what is pleasing in his sight. I mean, no, we got to guard his commands. We got to treat it like it's tender. It's a treasure. I'm going to protect that treasure. Very important that we do so. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. But the Spirit distinctly says that in latter times, some shall fall away from the belief, paying attention to misleading spirits and teachings of demons. So this is latter times. I believe this is latter times we're in. Look at what's going on around the world. So this scripture is very important. It's latter times. This is where we're at. And so I want to read what he talks about when he says what happens in latter times. But the Spirit distinctly says that in latter times, some shall fall away from the belief, paying attention to misleading spirits and teachings of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having been branded on their own conscience. The conscience gets seared here with a hot iron. So that's what happens when we're not careful to get the truth. If you're not getting the truth, you're being misled. And this is misleading spirits and teachings of demons. We have to make sure that we come away from that and we understand that the enemy's, he's out to destroy you. And once your conscience is not working right anymore, you're not going to want to go to church. You don't feel bad about it. You're not going to want to pray. You used to pray before, used to go to church, and now you don't bother. You go to sleep at night without a worry in the world. That conscience has been seared. And that's a dangerous place to be. You don't ever want to be there. So the way you do it, you have to recognize that you have a God-given conscience to help you. It's an awareness of what's right and wrong. And the more you let you get by with it, the more you say, well, it's not me, it's them. It's not me, it's them. It's not me, it's them. You're headed to a conscience being seared. You got to be thankful. Lord, I thank you for telling me. I thank you for showing me. That's a person who accepts the washing of the word. They accept it. They say, just wash every part of me. Cleanse every part of me. And once you do that, it changes your life. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 1, but know this, that in the last days hard times shall come. How many know we're in the last days? What we're feeling right now, hard times have come. For men shall be lovers of self and lovers of silver, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, thankless, wrongdoers, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, fierce haters of good, betrayers, reckless, puffed up, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of Elohim, having a form of reverence but denying its power, and turn away from these, he says. Those who are acting that way. So I noticed that the Apostle Paul here, he makes reference and he gives list of things. Where does he get that list from? You ever thought about that? Did he make all these things up? He gets it from the Torah. There's Torah scripture on that you can't do these things. So he gets it from the Torah. He said, if you're doing this, there's prohibitions that you can't be involved in that. He said, as a matter of fact, turn away from these. Those who are practicing this, turn away from it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 9, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power and signs and wonders of falsehood. And this is one of the things that happened with the children of Israel when they were leaving Egypt. Remember the plagues? He'd done the 10 plagues. And what happened at the beginning of these plagues is that Moshe would go in there with Aaron and they would show forth the power of God. And then the magicians and the sorcerers and all those would come and they would mimic what they did. They would perform their acts of magic and it was like a competition. And he's telling us here, just think about this. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and wonders of falsehood. It's going to be with power. It's going to do things that's going to be amazing. Listen, if you love God and you love Yah with everything that's in you, and you're washed in the Word, and your conscience is working right, and there's something else that can amaze you more than he can, then I question our relationship with him. What can amaze you more than him? And so he got to the 10th plague, and it was the death of the firstborn. And that was one that was out of their reach, because only Yah has the right to take the life in which he created. Yah has that right. And there was more than they could withstand. And with all deceit of unrighteousness in those perishing, because they did not receive the love of the truth. This is where the lawless one comes and sets up shop. And how does people get deceived? They did not receive the love of the truth. When you tried to speak truth to them, it was just an argument. It was a constant, well, I don't believe that. How can that be? You got to dig deep and get to the rock. As long as you're building on man's tradition, or earth, you're building on the earth, on the things of the earth, you're going to run into some trouble. But when you dig down, the storm can come, the lawless one can come, anyone can come, but you are founded on a rock and you'll be protected and be in the safety. Because you did not receive the love of the truth in order for them to be saved. How many understand that? Somebody says, well, I'm saved. Well, you're not saved until you're saved. And salvation is the one that endures to the end. The same shall be saved. Remember that. We receive salvation and we live in the life of being born again. And we're doing everything we can. But if we don't pay attention to washing in the Word and following our God-given conscience to know when we got to change, take the leaven out of our own life and do what God wants us to do, we're going to find ourselves in some serious trouble. In the 11th verse, it says, for this reason Elohim sends them a working of delusion for them to believe the falsehood. So he calls it what it is before people even know what it is. He said it's a falsehood. It's doctrine of demons. It's misleading you. But he gives them over to that delusion, and it's a terrible place to be when you've been handed over to the falsehood. In order that all should be judged who did not believe the truth. All gets judged who did not believe the truth, but have delighted in unrighteousness. They delighted in unrighteousness. And this is a value to us to look at and to say, Lord, keep me from this time. How do you assure yourself that you're not going to be caught by this? You do it by living the unleavened lifestyle daily, washing in the Word, making sure that you pay attention to your conscience. You know what's right and wrong. You really know. We know what's right and wrong. A person that goes around saying, well, don't judge me, because they're doing the wrong. That's why they say, don't judge me, don't, you know. They use that verse of Scripture because they know they're living wrong. So they got to use it. But we're not to spend our time trying to live wrong. We're trying to live right. And the way you live right is you go back to the Word of God and you keep the Torah, you keep the structure that God set up for us, and you have the power to do it, the set-apart spirit. You've been empowered to do it. It gives you the want to and the power to obey. That's what's so important about having the set-apart spirit inside of you and dwelling in you to guide our lives. John chapter 12, verse 36, while you have the light, believe in the light. While you have the light, believe in the light. So that you become sons of light. What does that light do? It gives you a clear conscience. While you have that light, believe in that light, you become sons of the light. These words Yeshua spoke and went off and was hidden from them. Verse 37, but though he had done many signs before them, they did not believe in him, that the word of Yeshayahu, the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Yah, who has believed our report, And to whom has the arm of Yah been revealed? That's Isaiah 53:1. Verse 39, because of this, they were unable to believe, because again, Yesihayu said, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, so that they should not see with their eyes and understand with their hearts and turn, and I should heal them. One, they have rejected him so much, and although he tried, and this is not some, he sent the prophets, and they did what? They killed the prophets. But he himself came, Yeshua himself came and tried everything he could in his ministry to get them to see the truth, and they denied the truth. In Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32, for the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all wickedness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. They suppress the truth and do what? They operate in unrighteousness. Not the righteousnesses, which is the righteous actions that we should be taking based on what the Torah says. You know that folks, they want to come and just fiddle-diddle around the feast days in a convenient way. But that's not what you do. You gotta get involved in it. It's gotta be a part of your life. You gotta teach it, you gotta preach it, you gotta live it the best you can. We're not just fiddling around with it. So if we're gonna go through the object lesson of removing leaven from our house, we better understand the more spiritual significance that we have to live the unleavened lifestyle, and we do it by being washed in the Word and by recognizing that we have a God-given conscience that understands what's right and what's wrong. Not to mention it's empowered by the set-apart Spirit that we can be guided through life and led into the paths of truth. That's what he's been sent for. For the wrath of Elohim is revealed from heaven against all wickedness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And that's what you find happening. We want to suppress the truth. Instead of letting the truth be the truth, we want to suppress it. That's what man does when we don't follow what God's structure is. His structure, he gave us the Torah, he gave us the instructions, he gave us the 10 words. And so whatever one we feel like don't really fit our Christianity or our way that we want to do it, we just kind of leave it off. Well, there's a price to pay for neglecting any one of God's Torah commands. There's a price to pay. And I believe that many people are going to suffer from that. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul tells us the suffering that's going to happen because they reject what he has given. A strong delusion comes on them, and they're just defeated. Verse 19, because that which is known of Elohim is manifest among them, for Elohim has manifested it to them. Verse 20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible qualities have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, both his everlasting power and his mightiness, for them to be without excuse. Very valuable. For since the creation of the world, the invisible qualities have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, both his everlasting power and mightiness, for them to be without excuse. Because although they knew Elohim, they did not esteem him as Elohim, nor gave thanks but became vain in their reasoning, and their undiscerning heart was darkened. Their conscience got darkened. It did not discern anymore. They didn't recognize how what God gave them as a tool to recognize what's right and wrong, their undiscerning heart was darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and changed the esteem of the incorruptible Elohim into the likeness of an image of corruptible man and of birds and of four-footed beasts and of reptiles. Therefore, Elohim gave them up to uncleanness. This is what happens when we don't follow our God-given conscience to do what God wants, not to mention it's empowered by the set-apart Spirit. We'll start following, it says that because of this, Elohim gave them over to degrading passions. For even their women exchange the natural relations for what is against nature. And likewise, the men also having left the natural relations with men, burning in their lust for one another, men with men committing indecency and receiving back the reward which was due their straying. And even as they did not think it worthwhile to possess the knowledge of Elohim, Elohim gave them over to a worthless mind to do what was improper, having been filled with all unrighteousness, whoring, wickedness, greed, evil, filled with envy and murder, fighting, deceit, evil habits and whisperings, slander, haters of Elohim, insolent, proud, boasters, devisers of evil, disobedient to parents, without discernment, covenant breakers, unloving, unforgiving, ruthless, who, though they know the righteousness of Elohim, that those who practice such deserve death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. So they had a knowledge, but didn't practice how to be led or recognize the consciousness that God had put inside of them. This is so valuable to our life. And today, I think about it all the time. I'm reminded of Josiah. Josiah was a young boy, and he began to reign. And in that reign, they begin to try to rebuild what has been destroyed and how all the pagan practices came in. But Josiah, one thing he said, as they were cleaning and they were getting ready, one of the workers found the Torah. They found the book. And so he said, read it to us. And so they began to read it, and they found out as they were reading, they was taking a list. They was making an account of their lives. We're not keeping none of this. We're not doing any of what Yah says. Nothing. And he said, so we're going to start doing what he said. And to do what he said, you don't just start doing it. There was the house cleaning had to happen first. So he said, we can't just start doing this stuff. We got to clean house. We got to get rid of the stuff that shouldn't be here. And we got to put in what should be here. And this is what it means to live the unleavened lifestyle. There's some things, it's so easy to look at somebody else and see, well, they need this, and if they worked here a little bit and done this a little bit, their life would be a little bit better. That's easy to do. But what we have to do in order to live it is sometimes we got to do a little house cleaning. And so when we have Passover, what do? You know, there's a term that's called spring cleaning. Well, spring cleaning, when I was a kid, that's something we always did. You'd clean the house. But Passover is important because what happens is you should go and clean up. You're cleaning up. You're making sure there's you didn't leave anything. And then you're removing the leaven. You're checking everything. And there's a possibility that we forget something. And we ought to recognize what we forgot and realize that we're susceptible to forget things. So we have to pray. So we go to the Word of God and we wash in the Word and we pray and say, Lord, help me see what I'm not seeing. Help me look better. Help me make sure that I'm not trying to hide anything. Because when you expose something, it's an embarrassment sometimes. We get embarrassed, and we don't want to be embarrassed. But the truth be told, I'd rather be embarrassed than miss out. Lord, show me what it is so I don't do it again. I don't want to do it again. And if we do that and practice that, it changes our life forever. And so that's what Josiah did. They went in and started removing the things that were they used to worship pagan gods, the altars that they would sacrifice the children to Baal, to Moloch. He said, get rid of all of that. We're not going to use their stuff. We don't want to use their stuff. And so that's important to us to remember that God makes a change in our life, and that change is for the better. And so tomorrow, Pastor Josh is going to be going live, and he's going to be talking about continuing in this and whatever else the Lord lays on his heart. He's going to talk about we must walk in the set-apart spirit daily. Walk in the set-apart. There were three things we had. One is we have to make sure that we're understanding the value of living the lifestyle of being unleavened. And the way we do that, we get washed in the Word daily. The second thing is we got to make sure that we recognize our God-given conscience. We know when something's not right. you instantly know it. And if you're filled with the Spirit, it's like a light comes on and you know it immediately when you something's wrong. You know it. You what do? You handle it right then and there. And the more we neglect that, the conscience can get seared, and before you know it, you don't even so you start calling what's a falsehood, you start calling it right. And what's good, you call evil. And you call evil good. You never want to get in that spot. And there are many people that allow themselves to drift in that spot. And it's terrible to be there. And number three, we must walk in the set-apart spirit daily. And we'll just leave that up to him to take care of that. It's a great, great teaching. And so I want you to understand that throughout this day, let's remember that first fruits is important. In Christ, he became the first fruit from the dead. He's the only human being ever to have a resurrected, immortal body seated at the right hand of the Father. There's not a spot that can be given to him that's greater than where he's at. And he makes intercession for us. He's still doing everything he can to help us get there. He's doing everything he can to help us be better. Let's not neglect the work and the effort and the pain and the suffering that he went through to be the first fruits and rise again and be at the right hand of the Father that he's still doing. Let's not neglect that. Let's take some time, and this time of the year is important to every believer. It should be. Remember, we're not just believing in a system. We're followers of Christ. If we're following him, we're to do what he says. And one of the things that he did at the Last Supper, he pointed out each thing that was of value to us, and we should make sure that we still participate in that. This is important to us. And I know that a lot of times we have people who we might look at it and say, well, it just don't matter. Well, we can still do this as long as we're not doing that. That's not what Josiah said. Josiah said, let's get rid of all of it and go back to the Torah and bring in only the things that God allows, and that'll be how our worship's going to be. And so he put structure back, because let me tell you, without the commands of God, if we don't follow his commands, then when you don't have the law and you're not following what the Torah says, you're going to make stuff up. And most of the time when you make it up, it's what we like, it's what we lean more heavy to, and it's just the way it is. And then if you got 1,000 different people who have different likes and tastes, that's how you get 1,000 different flavors of how it needs to be. And we wonder why there's so many religions in the world. We just want to get back to what the book says. And I pray today that everybody's been hanging in there, that you're staying faithful to your walk with God. This is important. And I know that this is a trying time. This is going to mark you. This will point out your weakest points and your strong points. It'll point it out to you at this time. And so I pray that every person that you're seeing that weak spots, you're seeing them and you're doing something about them. And you're seeing your strong points and you're getting them even stronger. That's important. So we're living in a very trying time. There's no doubt about it. And this is not just, again, I said this so many times, I'm going to say it again. It's not just your area. It's not just your family. There are many multitudes of families, billions of people that's affected by this. And so we need to be praying for one another. You get up in the mornings, you're praying for people. You're praying for those that's in authority. You're praying for the first responders on the front line that are putting their life on the line every day to get a hold to this. And you're praying protection on their life. And this is important to our life, that it's not just you going through it. There's other people. And if you know the truth, you should be living in the truth. If you have the light, your light should be not getting dimmer, but it should be getting brighter. So take some time to say, Lord, I pray for those that are struggling, for those that are struggling with fear. I pray for their life. And you'll see the difference it makes in your life when you engage on behalf of somebody else. It makes a difference in your life. So I want to say thanks to everybody who joined in today. We appreciate you for being faithful and doing what God's asked you to do.